church. You ready to study God's Word this morning? I hope so. If you will find in your Bibles, the first book, Genesis chapter 12 is where we'll be this morning. And if you're using a pew Bible, which if you don't have your own Bible, we welcome you and love for you to use the pew Bible. That would be page 8. And so we're in this series called A Summer of Sharing. And we're learning together the importance of and the need for us as believers to be sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so again, the Bible passage is Genesis chapter 12. And we will begin reading in verse 1, and that's page 8, I believe, in the Pew Bibles. And as we get ready to study God's Word and check the Scriptures out and just hear a word from the Lord, I want us to be thinking and just curious, again, as we said, man, we want to saturate our community, our city, with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and want to let people know about the freedom that can be had in Him. And, you know, it's a blessing, right? Because some people, not in a shove it down everybody's throat kind of way, not in a beat people over the head with the Bibles, but with love. Because that's really the root of our desire to share. Is when you love somebody, you want them to know the most important news in the world, the best news, right? I mean, you watch TV sometimes, I imagine, and we have enough bad news going on to be reported about all the time. And people are hungering for good news, right? And when you hear a story about good news, right, don't you love to share it? Yes, you do, because you know that good news blesses somebody else. And so that's the heart behind this, that our hearts are filled with love for those people. The most loving thing we can do for them is tell them, God loves you. He stands ready to forgive you. He made you with a purpose, and you can come to know Him personally. And I'm not better than anybody else. I'm not better than you. There's no judgment here for me. In fact, I heard once somebody say, there's no judgment. I just communicate what the judge meant. And so I thought that was kind of a clever way to say it. But the reality is, God has, through His Son Jesus Christ, offered pardon and true freedom for every person who believes in Him. And so as we're sharing that, that's what's important. So the title of today's message is Blessed to Be a Blessing. Maybe you've heard that statement before. It's kind of one of those Christianese statements, blessed to be a blessing. And I just wonder, by a show of hands, how many of you are glad that God has blessed you, right? You're glad that God has blessed you. Good, excellent. Put your hand down. All right. Now, here's the second question. I wonder if there's anybody who'd say, God, I could use more of your blessing, right? Like, I'm not quite content with where I am right now. I sure could use some more blessing for you, right? Would you raise your hand? Okay, yep, two hands. Two hands and a leg. All right. Don't hurt yourself. And, you know, there's probably nobody in this room who's going to say, you know what, Heavenly Father, I'm good. I'm good. You have more good things, more love, more grace, more mercy, more truth, more blessing for my life. I'm good. I don't think I need any more. Now listen, I'm not talking about a cute, humble posture of like, God, you have blessed me so much. I know I don't deserve anything, right? That's a different idea. But I don't think anybody in here would say, you know what, I'm kind of good, God. I don't need you to bless me anymore. I think we would all say that. And so who is the person that God blesses? And that's what we're going to look at today as we find out about this man named Abram, or he was later called Abraham. Who is this person that God blesses? Or even as we think about July 4th, you know, celebrating this week as we will be here in the United States celebrating our country. What is the nation that God blesses? And what does that look like? And I think you could draw parallels to either one. And so let's look and see what happens in this man named Abram's life. And how does God bless him, and what does God say to him? So I'm just going to read a few short verses here in Genesis chapter 12, and let's read it together. It says this, chapter 12, verse 1. It says, Now the Lord said to Abram, Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. What is God saying to Abram here? He's telling him to leave his country, telling him to go to another country, an even better country. Amen. verse 2, he says this, "And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing." Verse 3, "I will," notice how many I wills you see there, or five, just in a few short verses, "I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And then verse 4, "So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran." Verse 5, "And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. And when they came to the land of Canaan," verse 6, "Abram passed through the land to the place called Shechem, to the oak of Morah. At the time, the Canaanites were in the land." Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful for your word, the Bible, God's holy and inspired word, perfect, preserved throughout generations, God, and not just a book with black ink on dead wood, but living and active every day to be able to speak to hearts, to change lives, as your word even claims about it says, that we are born again through the living word preached to us. And we thank you for that, God. And I pray that your word would do its work now in our hearts. And as your word says, that it will not return void. Just as the rain comes down and waters the earth and feeds the animal, so will your word accomplish its purpose. So God, we are asking you to speak to us today. And as we often pray, and I'm going to ask you right here now, just seated in your chair, would you just have a conversation with God? Wherever you're at in your relationship with Him, not sure about how things are, just say this to the Lord. Say, "Lord, speak to me today." Go ahead and pray that in your heart. "Lord, speak to me today." And say this, "For Lord, I intend to obey you. Lord, I intend to obey you." Lord Jesus, we pray that you would be exalted above all. And it's in Christ's name, and for his sake we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask the men if you would come prepare the Lord's table at this time. Blessed to be a blessing. Who is the person that God blesses, or who is the nation that the Lord blesses? Either one could apply. And let's look at, and as we work back through this text, right, and think about this. Number one, who is the person that God blesses? God's blessing does not depend on my past. God's blessing does not depend on my past. Can I get an amen for that? God's blessing does not depend on your past, what you or I have done. His blessing stands ready to be poured out and to shower upon us. God's blessing does not depend on your past. Let's check out back in the text here. All right, and I know there's only a little bit here, but look just at verse 1. It says this, "Now the Lord said to Abram." Now let's just pause right there. You're thinking, "Oh, that's really powerful, Pastor. That's great." But let's just focus on that word Abram there. Who was this man Abram, and what do we know about him? Did he deserve to have God call him out? Because here we find God is making a covenant with Abraham. And it happens in other parts of the Scripture too. And there are several other covenants that God would make with people. He would make a covenant with David. And then, of course, we have the new covenant with Jesus. But this is an agreement that God chose Abram out of all the people on the earth to make him a blessing. And as I said later on, that all nations, that every nation, every single nation will be blessed through this one man. Could you imagine that? How do you get selected for that position? What do you have to do to earn that kind of favor with God? I mean, you got to be somebody super special is probably what you think. Through you, all nations, America, Canada, South America, Brazil, Nicaragua, I mean, you know, China and India and Belarus and Georgia and Azerbaijan and Ukraine and Iraq and Afghanistan and Kenya and we could go down throughout every country and throughout every place. Every nation, every people group, every tribe and tongue, we've been blessed with this one man. Man, he must have done something really good. But you know, the Bible doesn't tell us that he did anything good to be chosen for this. In fact, I think it would lead us to believe the opposite. Now, if we're talking about Noah, Noah has this phrase written about him. Noah happened at a different time, but it said, you know, there was no one righteous on the earth except for Noah. Like, he was a godly man, but it doesn't say that about Abram. And that's kind of interesting. In fact, if you look just up above it in chapter 11, you're holding your Bible there. And again, I'd love for you to grab a copy of God's Word and be looking at that, because that's where we teach out of. And it's not about what I have to say, but it's about what God has to say through His Word. Amen. If you look up right above chapter 12 in verse 11 and verse 31, it says this. Now Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, and his son, Abram's wife, and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. Now, we're going to learn about this land called Ur of the Chaldeans. Everybody say Ur. Ur. Okay, it's like we're teaching kids to read, right? ER says Ur, or UR says Ur. I mean, you know, you can go through all this sort of stuff. It's fun to teach kids phonics. It happens in my house quite frequently. Okay, but the land of Ur. And then they went to the land of Canaan. And look at the next part of the verse there in verse 31. So, but when they came to Haran, they settled there. And so there are two cities here, Ur of the Chaldeans and Haran. And Ur, as we know it today, is most likely in modern-day Iraq, where Haran would be in Turkey or Syria. But both of these places back in this time were centers of pagan moon worship. In fact, as I'm told, there is still remnants of the pagan moon god temple there in Ur to this day. And so, who is this man Abram? Is he a God-fearing man? No, he's a pagan moon worshiper. Why would God choose him? Not because of his past, but because of God's own goodness and his grace. That's why he chooses us. If you look in the book of Joshua chapter 24, we'll put it on the screen real quick. In the book of Joshua 24, verse 2, it says this. It gives a little more indication. It says this. And Joshua said to the people, he's recounting the story. This is in the future. He's recounting the story. He says, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates. Terah, right? That's the name of his father, Abram's father, and the father of Abraham and Nahor. That was his grandfather, excuse me, Terah. And then notice what it says. And they served what? Other gods. They served other gods. There was nothing in Abram that made him worthy to be chosen for this wonderful opportunity to be blessed and to be made into a great nation, and that through him every other nation on earth would be blessed. There was nothing in his past. And I'm here to tell you today, sir or ma'am, there's nothing in your past that can keep you from God's blessings. Aren't you so grateful for that? And so it doesn't matter what you did last week. God stands ready to forgive you. It doesn't matter even what you did last night. God's word and his arms are open wide to you, and he's calling you. Listen to me now. It doesn't matter what you did just this morning. God stands right here ready with arms open wide, ready to forgive you. Amen. And so God's blessing does not depend on our past. It happens in spite of our past. And I'm so grateful for that as we think about Abram. You know, and the reality is, as we think about him being, in fact, it's ironic that the moon god was named Sin. Isn't that kind of funny? I was reading as I was studying this week, and I read through just some of the Jewish literature, because Abraham being the father of the Jewish nation, the patriarch there, and they said, no, there wasn't anything good in Abram, but Abram, because of his mental and reasoning powers, he chose God. God didn't choose him. And I thought, no, that's not what the scriptures say. God chose him because of his own goodness, because of his own mercy and grace. So God's blessing does not depend on your past. And so you might be here today, and there is nothing in your past that would keep you from God's blessing, God's love, God's forgiveness. All the outpouring of grace that he wants to give to you is available, and it doesn't matter what you've done in your past. Amen. There is nothing that could separate you from the love of Christ. And so it doesn't depend on your past. Even as we think about a nation, right? Would God bless a nation that has had a crooked past? Yes, he would. And as we think about America, and sometimes it can get confusing, right? Because as we think about America being a Christian nation, and yes, absolutely, many of the founding fathers were Bible-believing Christians. But do you know, not all of them. Many of them, in fact, were deists. And then you had a whole host of other people here that were not here for godly purpose. They were there for their own glory, and they were there for gold. And so you have this mixture of people, and praise God that through the framers of the Constitution and many other believers, that we have a set upon a foundation that includes biblical principles. But that doesn't mean, sometimes people paint the picture like all those people were perfect back in those days. Right, because I had a best friend that was here at this church for many years. His name was Armando, or you knew him as Mooney, and his wife later, and they're Native Americans. You have a conversation with them about early America, it goes different real quick. Because they're saying, man, you guys built this country by murdering and slaughtering my people, and it was built, and then we were marginalized. And it's a whole different ballgame. And so how could God bless a nation that marginalized and massacred thousands of Native peoples in this land? Because God still has forgiveness, even when wicked things happen. And then we could look at the slave trade and how millions of Africans were stolen from their families and from their native land, and an economy was built upon their backs. And many of them didn't even make it across the ocean. Their bodies were dumped in the ocean by the millions. By forefathers of this land. And we can't just like pretend these things didn't happen. These things really happened. But God would still bless us in spite of the great atrocities and sin if we choose to turn to Him. God is the God of the captive and the captor. And the ground is level at the foot of the cross, and God would still choose to bless a nation like America. Not just because we're so good, but because of His own goodness and His grace. And in fact, that should make us feel humbled to be Americans and say, wow, man, thank God for those, again, those believers who stood fast, and those believers who preached God's word, and those who built those things. And even, listen, some of them didn't even understand, right? I mean, as they were writing the Declaration of Independence, what Dan quoted earlier, right, as we think about all men are created, right, with certain unalienable rights, and the right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We didn't even fully know what that meant back in those days, but God in His providence put that in there, and I think that's a beautiful thing. And then that has allowed this American experiment to become the beautiful nation that it is, and I'm excited and grateful to live here, and I hope you are. But I also know this, it's not because of our past that God has blessed us. It's in spite of our past. And we could even talk about the blood that is on the hands of us, of unborn children, over 50 million unborn children slaughtered in the womb of the most, what's supposed to be the most protective place. That blood is upon our hands and upon the hands of those who would commit those things, the doctors and upon congressmen. But it's upon us, even as believers, because we have got to continue to speak up for the rights of those most precious and innocent people. And would God choose to bless us? Yes, if we would turn to Him. If we would run to Him. And that brings us to point number two. So number one is God's blessing does not depend on my past, but God's blessing does depend on our current obedience. God's blessing does depend on our current obedience. Look back at Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Notice what God says to Abram. He says this, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred, your people, right? And your father's house to the land that I will show you." What is that? That is what we call a command, right? God gave him instructions. Abram, I'm telling you to leave this land and go to a different land. I'm telling you to leave the safety and security of your home place and go to a different place. That's a command, right? And if Abram, you want to be blessed with all the things that I promised you, you've got to follow my command, because I have a path where you need to walk, and that path is blessing. Narrow is the gate, right? Narrow is the path, and few that are that find it. But wide is the gate that leads to destruction. There are ways that you can walk that are not with God, and therefore we don't receive God's blessing. But notice what he does. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4, what he says there. He says this. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. Sometimes people say, Pastor, I just don't know that much about the Bible. I don't get all the stuff that you get. Listen, if you can obey some simple commands like this, go, and you can go. I could do that. Abraham went. Like, it wasn't confusing theology here. Like, you know, you got to understand the dispensations or something like that and know Greek and Hebrew and understand all the seven incense bowls in Revelation. I told you to go. And you went. Boom. Blessing. I remember as a new Christian just being overwhelmed, right, at the Bible. And I went to a Christian college and I started hanging out with all these Christian kids and they knew all the answers as the pastor was preaching and the Sunday school teacher was teaching us and they could raise their hands and they're like, hey, who is this guy? And what have anybody know about this? And I'm just sitting there like, I don't know any of this stuff. And they're singing these songs, right? They're singing songs about Abraham. Father Abraham and many sons, right? It goes something like that, right? And many sons have Father Abraham. I'm one of them, so are you. Let's all praise the Lord. Right arm, left eye. And I'm just like, is this a cult? Like, what's going on here? I don't know who Abraham is. I know who Jesus is, and that's all I know. Y'all talking about Abraham, you're confusing me. And so there are all this stuff that I was confused about, but I remember this verse as clear as day. It's still in my mind now, and I wrote it on a little index card and put it on the dashboard of my car. So I'm glad it said this. It said, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Man, that I worked on obeying that verse for like my entire college life. Be completely humble and gentle. I thought, I don't know all the stuff these other people know. They've been in church so long, but I know this. I can work on being humble. I can work on being gentle. I can work on being patient and bearing with other people in love. And I got plenty of opportunities with roommates and professors and long lines at a cafeteria and all kinds of things. I can just work on that. If you can obey the simplest of commands, God tells you to do something simple, just do it. You don't have to be some kind of brainiac. You don't have to go to seminary. If you can just obey him in the simplest things, you will find the path of blessing. Amen? So let me give you a little illustration here. So I'll ask, let's see, we'll get Abigail, Lydia, Emily. We'll get these ladies. You guys can come help. Come up to the front here. I know they're thinking, oh, what? Emily's like, I didn't come here to be up front today. Come on, Emily. All right, so I brought with me here. You guys can just wait, actually, right down there. I know you're all excited about coming up here. This is a potato gun. And I've got some equipment here I'm going to fire. And then we're going to see who can catch a potato in their mouth. That's just a little bit of gunpowder. I'm sure that it won't hurt. And you guys have dental insurance or anything like that? Okay, good. All right. Works good. Braces are perfect. Let you guys hold these. And in fact, there should be one for each of you. Go ahead and take those apart for me, Emily. And hold those. Yes, excellent. We got one more. Oh, two more. All right, and each of you can hold an orange bucket, if you will. Okay, excellent. All right, and so the reality is, God has called us our current obedience. What I'm trying to tell you is that God's blessing does depend on our current obedience. We have to align ourselves with God's blessing. He said, walk in my ways and you will be blessed, right? You will get my favor, my grace, my mercy. It will come out to you. But you've got to walk in my ways. When you walk your own way and do your own thing, guess what happens? You don't receive God's blessing, right? Pastor Lee used to say, God's blessing and love is kind of like an umbrella. And you come close to the Lord and you stand under that umbrella and you're good and you're covered and you're blessed by his presence. But when you walk out from underneath the umbrella and you come over here, you can't complain to God that you're getting wet because you've walked away from him. And so what do we have to do? We have to align ourselves with God's blessing. And so God wants to bless us. Oh, man. I think there's enough gunpowder in here, Tony. Just kidding. I did forget my cap, Tony, but that's okay. I'm sure no one will get injured. So if I'm over here, right, and I'm saying, I want to bless you. I want to bless Emily and Abigail and Lydia, and I've got blessings, and these are my little blessing tennis ball, right? And I'm ready to download them, and you come over here, and you'll be blessed. What's happening? They're not getting it. Why? They got to be aligned. They got to align themselves with God's ways, and they got to get close to the Lord, right? Can y'all help them out? Can y'all give them some advice? Look, they're smart. Look, she's got it, right? She's got it, right? Excellent. Okay. So, you ready? Oh, we still missed it. Like, they're close. They're close. You mind grabbing that there, Josh? Thank you. You can just toss it and see how good I can get. All right, just like a dolphin, like usual. All right, you guys ready? Hey, we got one. Emily's blessed. You guys are not blessed. Sorry. All right, ready? Okay, here we go. Okay, right? That was heavy. That was a pool ball. Watch out. And so we've got to be in alignment with God's word and who He is. And this is what Abraham did. And so God's blessing does depend on our current obedience. That doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. But when we're walking with God and we fall down, He picks us back up. He forgives us. And we continue to receive His blessing. Amen? All right. Point number three. You can write this down. You guys can just hang there for a second. Just hang tight. Point number three. Don't go anywhere. Point number three, okay? You can write this down. Is this God's blessing does depend on our sharing it with others. God's blessing does depend on our sharing it with others. I'm thinking, what? Sharing what? Sharing the blessings. Sharing the goodness that God has given us. Sharing the grace and the truth and the mercy that God has placed in our lives, right? Look back at verse 2 and 3. We didn't really cover those, but it says this in verse 2. Says this, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, right? All of us want that, right? Yes, I want to be a great nation. I want my name to be great. Why? Why did God make Abram a great nation? Why would God bless them? Look at this key phrase here. So that what? You will be a blessing to others, right? And then again, in verse 3, it says this, I will bless those who bless you, and in him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, reach over and touch your neighbor and tell him, in you, okay? In you, or through you, will all the families of the earth be blessed, all right? In you, all right? There you go, Lydia, you can come on up here. You can leave your bucket right there. Excellent. You guys are good. Come on up here, Lydia. Okay, if this is Lydia, what God wants to do is God wants us to be a conduit. God wants to flow through us. He doesn't want us to be a reservoir. He wants us to be a channel through whom His blessings go. And so we have all these blessings here, big blessings, little blessings, and God wants to download them into Lydia's life. Whoa, whoa, whoa. All right. Good. Good. Oh, man. You know, I was always terrible at, like, you go to Chuck E. Cheese and you try to hit those little things, and I feel like a little mole is going to pop out of there and whack-a-mole. And so God is just pouring out blessing into Lydia's life, right? Pouring out blessing. Pouring out blessing. Okay? Pouring out blessing. 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 Man, God has been good to you, Lydia. You must have some awesome parents. I think that's what it is. I'm just giving you great dad, great mom. Great siblings, all kinds of stuff. You want to toss me those, Abigail? Yeah, I mean, just all kinds of. Thank you. Yes, great. God just wants to bless you. God just wants to bless you. Uh-oh. What happened? I'm full. You can't get any more blessing unless you share it, right? But see, what happens is sometimes as believers, we just love to get God's blessing. Oh, how we love to be in Bible study. Oh, how we love to be in church and to sing songs and to read our Bibles and to do our devotions and to listen to Christian radio and to watch Christian TV. And we love to get the blessing. But as one pastor said, if all you ever do is sit and soak up, you will eventually sour. If all we ever do is sit and soak up, you will eventually sour, because you were made to be a channel of God's blessing, not a reservoir to hold it all in for yourself. In fact, it was the evangelist Bill Fay who said this. He said, and now you can be angry at Bill Fay. and not me for saying this, but Bill Fay was an old evangelist. He wrote the book, Share Jesus Without Fear, and we did that here back in 2005. And he said this. He said, most Christians I meet are spiritually constipated. We've been all filled up with all of God's goodness, but we hadn't let any of it out yet. And you know how the faces of constipated people look? And he says, get spiritually unconstipated and begin sharing the good news, not the other thing. It's kind of like, maybe you've heard this about the Red Sea, right? You've heard about the Red Sea. That in the Red Sea, no life can grow there. No life can grow in the Red Sea. No plants, no animals. The salt content is so high that nothing can grow there. That's why they call it the Dead Sea, right? The Dead Sea, not the Red Sea. Did I say the Red Sea? Lydia, why'd you make me say the Red Sea? I'm trying to bless you. Take away a blessing. Just so grateful God's not like me. And the Dead Sea, that's why it has the name, the Dead Sea, because nothing can live or grow there. And now we've got a picture of the Dead Sea on the map there. Why is that? Because the Dead Sea has all kinds of inlets. All kinds of inlets. Stuff is pouring into the Dead Sea, pouring into the Dead Sea. Inlet, okay? Through the Jordan River, through the Sea of Galilee, and other places there in the Middle East, pouring into the Dead Sea. The problem is it has so many inlets and it has no outlets. And so it is dead. And oh, how many Christians are dying spiritually because we have not been an outlet. We have not been a conduit. We have not been a channel of God's blessing. And so what do we need to do? We got to open up, and those blessings that God has given us, we need to be sharing. The forgiveness we have received, we need to be sharing that forgiveness. The mercy we have received, we need to be sharing that mercy. All the blessings that God has given us. And so, Lydia, you ready to share your blessings? Okay, here we go. Who's ready to get them? Right? And God's like, okay, I got. Oh, Lydia needs some more. Whoa. Man, that one, good thing that didn't hurt you. All right, there's more. God just wants to keep pouring out. And Emily can get in on it if she wants. And notice, God can just limitlessly pour out. That was a heavy one. 8-ball, corner pocket. I won the game. All right? We can just keep going, right? God just has an unlimited supply of his blessings, right? We can go and get more, and we can just pour out his blessings, right? There's some little blessings, and there are big blessings, right? We can just pour them. God says, look, if you will be a person who is generous, if you'll be a person who is sharing, aren't you so grateful God has better aim than me, right? We can just keep going, right? What's the limit? There's an infinite limit to God's blessings upon our lives if we will simply be a channel, and we will be sharing those blessings with others. Amen? Let's give these lovely ladies a round of applause. They did such a good job. Thank you. There you go. All right. Excellent. You can just pour them in there. Wonderful. Nice work. You ladies will be blessed. And so as we prepare to come to the Lord's table today, I want you to think about this, and I want you to think about the fact, am I a conduit or am I a reservoir? Am I a channel allowing God's blessings to flow through me? Am I being generous? Am I sharing the gospel? Am I sharing the love? I've received so much love from God. Am I loving others? I've received so much forgiveness from God. Am I forgiving others? Am I being judgmental and all these sorts of things? I wonder if we would do that. Because we're going to come to the Lord's table, right? And we're going to receive from Him mercy and grace, right? There's nothing super spiritual about the Lord's table. There's not magic in the bread and the wafers, but it's a symbolic reminder of the body of Jesus Christ broken for us, the blood of Jesus Christ broken, spilled for us to cover and forgive us of our sins. And we're going to receive that right now. And the greater question is this: will you be sharing that this week? because that's what God has called us to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, that you have desired to pour out infinite blessings in our lives, God. And Lord, it simply depends on will we be obedient? Will we come close to you? Not perfect. Will we walk next to you? Will we walk in your ways? And will we be willing to share and just be a conduit? We were blessed so that we might be a blessing to others, God. So, Father, as we partake in the Lord's Supper, I'd like for us all now just to sit here quietly, contemplating what the Lord is saying to you. Maybe it's related to that. Maybe it's related to something else. Maybe you don't feel worthy to take the Lord's Supper this week. And would you just hear the Word of God that says, my blessing, my love has not changed for you regardless of your past. You're not too far gone for me to love and to save. My body was put on the cross for you. My blood was shed for you. So I want you just to take a few moments there to have a conversation with the Lord and to inquire of your own heart, search your heart, and ask the Lord to search your heart. Father, I'm not above anybody else in this room. Just because I stand on a stage doesn't mean I have it all figured out and I am righteous all the time. And I'm so grateful your blessings don't depend on my past. And I'm so grateful that even, Lord, when I walk away from your ways, you still pick me up and you allow me to come back on the narrow road. You don't get tired of me falling down. You don't get tired of me wandering. You continue to bless me. And Father, even when I get selfish, Lord, and I'm stuck in my ways, and I'm more concerned about my own desires and my own wants than I am about the others around me, God, I'm thankful that you still are ready to work with me, ready to pour out your blessings on me if I would simply let it flow through me. Out of me, out of you will flow rivers of living water. Oh God, may that be true of me and every believer here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.